what we're doing, I'm going to take a break kind of away from the facets, the many facets of Jesus, although every sermon is about Jesus. I mean, we talk about emphasizing that during this season that we're in. This whole summer and spring and summer and into the fall has been all about Jesus, and it will always be all about Jesus. But I want to zero in on a specific aspect in light of the election, in light of COVID, in light of the economy, in light of 2020. We're going to be talking today about hope in the Lord. That's the title, hope in the Lord, not in politicians, although I'm still believing that the pro-life, pro-Israel, pro-law and order, pro-family, pro-marriage, pro-religious freedom, pro-God administration will win. To me, the story's not over, even though the media would like to tell us the story's over. And we're going to keep praying, and that's what I encourage you to do, is pray. Pray. Pray for God's justice. Pray for God's truth. Pray for God's will to be done in our country. Pray and keep praying. And that's pretty much my message, so, but I'm going to tell you that in a whole bunch of different ways for the next 20 minutes or so, half hour, 45, or be done before midnight for sure. We'll be done before midnight for sure. I am going to read tail end of Isaiah chapter 40, which is one of my favorites. The whole chapter is amazing, but I want to read, just picking it up at the end in verse 27 to the end. So you can read along with me. It says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Minnesota, O United States? Why do you complain, O Faribault? Why do you complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." Why do you say that? Isaiah, the prophet, speaking to Israel, says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard?" And I want to say, knowing comes from hearing. Knowing comes from hearing. And we're called to speak it. We're called to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God so that people can know it. But it comes in here first. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the prophet is asking, Israel, don't you know? Have you not heard? And the obvious answer is, yes, you know, and yes, you've heard. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. He never sucks air. He can go up as many flights as he wants, and he doesn't suck air like others do. He doesn't get tired. He never needs to take a break. He never gets overwhelmed. He never gets weary. Tired and weary are physical and emotional. It's two different ways to get tired. You get weary emotionally. He never gets emotionally weary. And he never gets physically weary or tired. And his understanding, no one can fathom. His ways are so much higher than our ways that we could ever understand. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I want you to remember, strength to the weary. How does he give strength to the weary? And he says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. It's not just the old guys that can get tired and stumble. It's even the young guys, even the buff guys, even the muscle guys, even the athletes get tired and weary. Everybody gets weary. Everybody stumbles and falls. But remember, he gives power to the weak, strength to the weary. How's that? But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So hope in the Lord is your source of strength, is strength that comes. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Just want to pray, Father, just pray that you would just bless this time. Help me to communicate your heart and your words, your life, and your encouragement and your challenge, Lord. Just give us ears to hear. We just pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. We pray that peace would come, that joy would come, hope would come, and specific hope, not vague hope. Just bless this time now. We just thank you that we can gather in your name and that your promises you will be in our midst. You are here, and thank you, Lord, for being here in Jesus' name. Amen. So this Isaiah passage sets the stage for where I want to go. I want to look at three focal points of hope in the Lord. And this is all based not out of Isaiah, although I could grab so many passages of Scripture, but out of primarily Psalm 33. And I encourage you to read Psalm 33 when you get a chance. But three focal points of hope in the Lord. Number one is our hope is in the Lord himself. And I want to read Psalm 33. I'm going to jump around to it, read most of it by the time we're done, but different parts because every one of my points is in this one psalm. First, number one, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre or the 6-string Fender, Gibson, or whatever it might be. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. By the way, I so appreciate our worship team, but sing joyfully to the Lord. Shout to his name. Praise him. Only if things are going well? No, praise him. Things are going well or things are not going well. He's worthy of our praise no matter what's going on, starting by who he is. Our hope is in him, not just what he does or what he can do, but our hope is in him. He himself, God himself, he is unlike any other God. I'm going to keep reading verse 8. It says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. Revere him for who he is. Not just what he can do, not just what he's done, but he himself. And then verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. I'm going to skip down. I'm going to skip down to, I'll just keep reading. I don't know if I put it up there or not. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do, no king is saved by the size of his army, no warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. And I'm going to stop there. And then verse 20 says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. He himself, in him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. So our hope is in him. Jesus, the Lord God Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the Father God, the Spirit of the living God. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in the Lord himself. He is unlike any other. His ways are perfect. His ways are so much higher. His wisdom is so much greater than ours. We look to him because of who he is, and we pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done because his is only good. His is only good for everyone. Ultimately, his will is best for anyone who comes to him. And we want him to be glorified on the earth that he made. And he is sustaining. And he formed it. And he formed it for his glory. Regarding the election, the focus on the family ministry. Read a letter from them. It says, we're not into parties. We're about principles. And that's why we pray for the principles of God, the ways of God to come forth. We're not praying for a party, although we're praying for the principles of God, and then certain people more line up with those principles, and that's why we pray for certain victories for certain people. because we know that God will accomplish what he wants to accomplish that's best for everyone. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, what do the people do? They groan. There's a lot of groaning going on. And so this is according to God's word, God's principles. All people are better off when God's principles are played out. He's only good. He's only wise. He only does wondrous things. He's perfect in every way. And that's why our hope is in him. And number two, our hope is in God's word. It's in God's word. So our hope is in the Lord himself. Our hope is in God's word. And that's why I want to read verse 4 in Psalm 33. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. In I'm going to take a break from there. Isaiah 40, part of that same chapter, it says, God brings out the starry host one by one and calls each one by name. He named the stars. It says, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Try being in charge of orbital galaxies and that they don't smash into each other. Aren't you glad that we don't get, you know, a moon or another planet bouncing off the earth every now and then? He's worked that out pretty well. So if he can control, and it says, we were watching, reminds me, I just pulled up Monsters, Inc., watched a little Monsters, Inc. You guys know, how many know Monsters, Inc.? All right. Okay, so at that point where, so the premise is children are scary and wicked and evil, and they're to be avoided by the monsters because they're afraid of, they think they're going to get poisoned and so on. And a little girl pops into the monster world, and they're like, oh, panic. The monsters are panicking. Sully and Mike Wazowski are trying to get this kid, you know, without touching her, with, you know, using tongs and disinfectant because they don't want to get the virus of human. And so very similar plot, nothing new. And so they're trying to get rid of her, but yet Sully, the big monster, is warming up to her because she's an adorable, cute little, she's not afraid of them, and they realize they're not dying, they're not dead because she's around, and they're talking about how to get rid of her, and Sully says, well, what about Boo? And Mike Wazowski says, you named it? You gave it a name? Don't ever name it. That's because you get, how many know you name something, you get emotionally connected to it. And Mike Wazowski was in full panic that his buddy named it, this little girl. And God names all the planets, all the stars. He knows them intimately, personally. And we're talking a number that can't be counted. Billions upon billions of stars that God is intimately in relationship with. And if he can do that, do you think he's intimately in relationship with us and knows our name and knows exactly and cares equally as much about us not banging into each other and hurting each other? And he knows us. He cares about each of us. So where was I? Verse, he gathers, okay, the starry host by the breath of his mouth, verse 6, and then verse 7, he gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. And I know I read that, for he spoke and it came to be. He spoke, the word of God. He spoke and creation came to be and it stood firm. He commanded and it stood firm. So God's word, we trust in his word. We trust in him and we trust in his word. When he speaks something, we know it's perfect. We know it's true. We know it has the right motive. We know there's nothing dark about what he says, about his promises. And God's word regarding, and I know this is a flavored message by the election, and I'll just admit it. It's like I'm admitting it. government will be on his shoulders. God's word says, and the government will be on his shoulders. It is not on human shoulders. And in this talking about his birth, his human birth, this is also out of Isaiah. And he will, you know, be with child and be given a son, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And so it's already there. It's not like someday the government will be, someday Jesus will get his hands on that government. It's like, no, he's got it. He's on it. And Daniel 2 talks about God removes kings and sets other kings up. God is the one who raises up authority and takes authority down. Scripture says, and our trust is in the word of God, for the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. All things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And these are the things that we're familiar with, and we got to hold on to them. This is where they apply. This is what we do with hiding the word of God in our hearts as we bring it to remembrance and we remind God of his word, of his promises. The word of God is right and true, and he says he's faithful to perform his word. It's alive and active. It's so important to know it and declare it by faith. All of his promises are yes and amen. So we hope in God himself. We put our hope specifically in his word. Man's will does not override God's word. God's word always, trumps man's ways and man's word. So the third is our hope is in God's love. Over and over the scripture talks about God's love and our hope being in that. I'm going to read verses 18 and on. It says, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. And then verse 22 says, may your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. So it's God's unfailing love that delivers us from eternal death. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And it's God's love that sustains us. And may his love rest upon us as we trust in him and put our hope in him. I want to talk about transition now. There's three guarantees. I know from my favorite concrete and block worker in the room here, I've learned three guarantees of concrete because he've had him do some concrete work for me. And, I'm asking questions about it. And he goes, well, there's three guarantees that come with concrete. Really? That's great. The first guarantee is, number one, it will get hard. That's guaranteed. You never hear of soft concrete days later. It's pretty much guaranteed it will get hard, and you can't stop it. Once you set it, it's going to get hard. There's no, like, hold it. I think I changed my mind on the design here. It's like, sorry, guarantee it's going to get hard. Two, it will crack. You know how we put lines in the concrete because where we want it to crack? Well, it'll crack there, and it'll crack where you don't want it to crack. It'll guaranteed crack one way or another. And then the third guarantee that comes with concrete, it will never be stolen. You know, I never wake up in the morning and rush out to my sidewalk and see if it's still there. It's like, nope, no one stole it. You can steal a lot of things, but I've never seen a padlock or a chain or a cable on a patio, you know, slab, to make sure that no one steals it. I've been in Mongolia, and we were in the middle of this desolate stretch of highway, and there's a little convenience store right there, and we stopped to get refreshments because it was hours of driving in remote, gorgeous areas. But they actually had a chain and a padlock going to the floor mat before you walk into the building, and so it wouldn't get stolen. So I've seen a lot of things protected and not wanting to be stolen, but I've never seen a padlock on a piece of concrete. So those are the three guarantees. It'll get hard, it will crack, and it will never be stolen. And in the same, similar way, there's three guarantees of God, and I want to look at some of these. And these are guarantees, and these are You know, we know these, we're told these, so that we're not surprised as if some strange thing was happening to us. Number one, guarantee of God, life will get hard. Okay? Like the concrete, it's guaranteed to happen, no matter what. Just ask Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, you know, John, Paul, Peter, Paul, and Mary, for you older guys. Just ask anyone in the Bible, did life get hard? It got hard. It got hard, and there is no stopping it. In this world, you will have trouble. It will be a challenge. Anyone who desires to even live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. The world is under a curse. There's no avoiding it. It's guaranteed. It will be hard. It will get difficult. It will be a challenge. And Jesus warned us. He warned us over and over in the scripture. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be brutal, lovers of themselves. There's the cares of this world. There's the deceitfulness of riches. I mean, whether you go without or you're, you know, in prosperous, there will be challenges. It will get difficult. So it'll get hard, guaranteed. Number two is we will crack. It's a promise of God. Life will get hard and we will crack. And I don't mean just us. I mean collectively the world will lose their grip. And unlike concrete that you can kind of decide where it will crack, we crack in the worst places. We can't guess where we're going to lose our grip. There's different ways that we cave under pressure, and I'm not prophesying this on anyone. We know it's going to happen. We are going to be overwhelmed. There's times where we're just overwhelmed. The scripture, again, is clear. The love of many will grow cold. Many will abandon the faith. If you've never cracked under pressure, come and teach a class. We will make room for you. We want to hear how you did that. I will read your book because there's no exceptions. We're going to be overwhelmed, and we're going to lose our peace, lose our joy, lose our minds at times. And I'm speaking in general, just giving a heads up. It's like it's going to happen. We will crack. We will, for any number of reasons, want to lose our grip. But the third, and that's so important about the third guarantee from God. The third guarantee, God is love, and love will never fail. It will never fail. God's love will never end. His love is everlasting love. He will never let us down. God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never let us out of his hand. He will never lose sight of us. He will never be so busy that he doesn't realize, hey, oh, where? Oh, sorry, I didn't see that happen to you. Sorry, I missed you. Never, 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 never. God's love will never fail. His promise is to be with us to the end. When life gets hard, when we crack, he doesn't. He's faithful through it all. Our hope is in God himself. Who he is, his character, his nature, his word that is perfect and alive and able to speak to us. And our hope is in the fact that his love never fails. His love never abandons us. Everlasting love. Now I want to go back to that Isaiah 40 and just read the verse 31. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in him, and specifically those who hope in who he is, that he made this earth, the word of God, that we hope in his word. We trust his word that when he says he created it, he's sustaining it. He's governing it. He is coming back for his own. He's going to renew it and restore it and restore what the devil brought about by devastating it through the deception of sin. He's going to renew it, and his love never fades. It never wanes. His love is permanent. It says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And then it says, they will soar on wings like eagles. What does that mean? What does that mean? I've had many dreams, by the way, just personally. I've had many dreams where I'm soaring, where I'm flying, and I love to fly. I always look for any excuse to go up in the air. I used to, a few times, jumped out of airplanes with a parachute, and it was a lot of fun. I love to travel by air. I love to get up high. I get nervous at times, and certain, I'm not stupid, you know. I don't stand too close to an edge without something, but I love to be up high, and I love to go up in this tower for different reasons. And when I'm up in that tower, and I'll go out to where you can see the horizon, and it's a great view. I don't know how many feet up that tower is, but it's a great view of the whole city. Everything is, you can see the horizon all the way around. And you see, I can see over, you know, the viaduct. I can see every church steeple from up there. I can see them all, see them all. And it's just an enjoyable time to get up high, and everything looks really small. And I think that's part of the idea of Isaiah. It says, they will soar on wings like eagles. Eagles. I mean, the eagle face is one of the faces of the beast that's referred to Jesus. Jesus, one aspect of him is the eagle, and it's God's perspective. It's all about perspective. It's like God is in the heavens, we are on the earth, and we're so close to things, it's hard to see the bigger picture. But those who hope in the Lord will soar like eagles. You get up above it all, and you see it for what it really is, that it's really small stuff. It's really, God's perspective is, it says, higher. His ways are so much higher than our ways. And he has a perspective that we can get a glimpse of as we hope in the Lord. We will soar on wings like eagles. And then it's not just that we are to get away from it all. It's like, oh, I just want to get off the grid, and I just want to, you know, unplug from this society. Because the next verse speaks to that. It says, they will run and not grow weary. Meaning they will stay engaged. They will get refreshed, get perspective, and then they will run. And God doesn't, this is not the time to pull away and pull back and just say, well, God is God and it's all going to work out. It's like, no, they will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. We'll be engaged. And this is what I want to encourage you with and leave you with, is that God calls us to get perspective, you know, dwell with him, talk to him, make a request known to him, engage with him in what he is doing on the earth, because this is his nation. This is his planet. This is what he created, and he is the Lord of the nations, and he's not abandoned it. He is not unaware and uninvolved, and he's not like, well, that didn't work. I guess I'll, you know, let it implode and start over some other day. Like, no, this is his plan A, is he sent his son to redeem the world, to bring salvation, to bring good news of great joy. And that's why we need to engage in just singing, shouting, praising, and revering his name for who he is, no matter what our feelings feel like, no matter what things look like, no matter what circumstances are shouting at us. But to rejoice in the Lord, give thanks to God, and pray earnestly. We have Monday night prayer tomorrow night. I encourage you to come to Monday night prayer. We've been praying for months and months and months for the will of God to be done in this nation. through the election. And it's not just the election. You know, I want to make it clear, it's not that, oh, we just want to get Trump in there and then we can relax and it'll all take care of itself. It's not that. It's not about a person. It's about principles. And the principles of God are more with the Republican Party. And I'll just say that. I know I'm not supposed to tell you who to vote for. I didn't. But it's not over. And I'm saying, I'm praying for Trump to get reelected. And not because I love everything about Trump, but I'm more aligned with, and I see the scripture aligns with the platform of the Republican Party, because they are pro-life. They're pro-marriage, pro-family, pro-freedom of religion, pro-Israel. There's so many aspects of that party platform, and I can just say the Democratic Party is anti-God, anti-baby, anti-Israel, anti-family, Judeo-Christian family, anti-marriage. That, to me, that's the wicked. And if the wicked got into power, the people will groan. So I'm praying for the righteous to come into power, the righteous to increase. As we know, a child is born, a son is given, and the increase of his government and peace will never end. The government will be on his shoulders, and the increase of his government and his peace will never end. And that's why we pray for all those in authority, no matter who's in charge, no matter what happens, we're going to be praying for those in authority. I believe if Biden gets in there, you know, we're going to see a lot of nasty, nasty things in this country. And so we need to pray for President Trump. Sorry, that's just how I feel. based on what I see. So we get our strength renewed by hoping in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in who he is. Our hope is in what he says. And our hope is in his love. And that he is not abandoning us to our own devices. And so with that kind of hope, that will strengthen you. That will renew your strength. That will renew your strength to stay engaged in the battle and fight in prayer. Fight in prayer. Pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, what? Pray. In everything, pray. That's the most powerful weapon you have. And then we take action, whatever way we can, is speak up, stand up, engage. And so, trust God in prayer, keep going. He only does wondrous things. It's never dull with Jesus. Never dull. I thought, man, when I was a kid, religion was stupid. What a waste of time. I thought, what a worthless thing to go to a church for 45 minutes every week. And that's because I didn't know the living God. Once I met the living God, everything changed. It's like, wow, wow, wow. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. Jesus matters right here and right now. So I want to encourage you, young people, Jesus is awesome. When you know him, when you live for him, there is nothing more challenging, nothing more powerful than giving your life over to the living God and watch what he does with it. And that's why you need to know the Word of God. Keep reading the Word of God. Get regularly the Word of God in you, and it will do its work. Get the Word of God in you. So I want to pray. Let's stand up and close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your sovereign will and seasons, Lord, that you are in charge of, that you say as long as you're in charge, which we know you are, the seasons will continue to come and go. You are in charge of everything. And you pray, you say to pray, Father in heaven, holy is your name, hallowed be your name. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done on earth, just like it's being done in heaven. So Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in this season. We pray for you to bring about your will regarding specifically this election, regarding this virus, regarding this economy, regarding this time of the church and government and the conflict that's going on between the two, regarding businesses and people in power. Lord, we just pray for you to show your strength, show your might, that you would be glorified in it. God, we trust you for who you are. God, we trust that you are only good. There's no darkness in you whatsoever. There is nothing evil about you. There is no reason not to trust everything about you. You have proven yourself. We know that you are only good, only righteous, and powerful. And yet you call us to cooperate with you and engage with you in what you're doing on the earth, Lord. Not as just passive bystanders or spectators, but you invite us in as sons and daughters of all things. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're the highest authority. Father, we just pray that you would be glorified in this time. Help us, Lord, not to lose heart or to grow weary or to lose hope, but to be renewed in our strength, to soar on wings like eagles, Lord, to have a perspective. God, you say to look up, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on you, Lord. Right now we fix our eyes on you as you are the highest authority. You are the most wonderful God, the Almighty. And you love this nation. You love this earth that you made. You so love the world. Father, we trust that you are not done with it. And we trust that no matter what happens, Lord, you have a really smart plan and reason for it all. So we thank you, Lord. Help us to guard our hearts, Lord. And as we are choosing not to be anxious, but in everything through prayer, it says your peace that passes understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, so often we don't know what to believe, but we know we can believe you in every word that you say. So, Father, thank you. And I just want to pray. I heard this spoken this morning, just the Hebrew prayer, Jewish blessing. I want to just close by saying, as number 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.